Today on Real Radio.
Over 80% of Americans polled said that they're Christians. Well, I'd like to know where they're at. And if that's true, then why isn't our nation turning around? You see, people say that they're a Christian, but let me ask you, what is a Christian?
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament letter penned by James. The word truth appears throughout the entirety of Scripture, and the reason is simple. What the Almighty has conveyed to us in His Word, including the good, the bad, the ugly, is truth of which He is author. Our study is taken from James chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Receiving the Word of Truth.
James is trying to get across to the Christian that we have to be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. And we'll see that next week. But he wants us to be believers that are truly Christian. Now listen, you can be a believer in the fact that God exists and that Jesus really lived and that Jesus in fact died and rose again from the dead. You can come to that understanding intellectually, but if you don't have the reality of what all that means and the power that it brings in the Bible, if you don't have it working in your life, then listen, you're a believer, but you're not in fact a Christian. In fact, what you call somebody who follows Christ in his belief by how they live, the definition was given to the church at Antioch, they called them Christians. What you believe and you put into action, then you are called a Christian. But see, according to a recent Gallup poll, as I mentioned to you a week or so ago, that George Gallup said that over 80% of Americans polled said that they're Christians. Well, I'd like to know where they're at. And if that's true, then why isn't our nation turning around? You see, people say that they're a Christian, but let me ask you, what is a Christian? What is the definition? See, we can easily speak words, but what is the definition of what you're talking about? Being a Christian is one who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ in a day-to-day living, called a disciple. And James is asking us this morning, is that who you are? Is that who I am? Are we Christians in our conduct? Are we Christians in how we live? Or do we just say? And you know, depending upon the group we're in, it's advantageous or not to say that you're a Christian. Some people are quick to say that they're Christians in church, but when they're at work or when they're out on the field or when they're somewhere else, they won't readily say that they're a Christian because maybe their life is in fact doing something or a lifestyle itself that is against the teachings of Christ. These are serious things. And so that's why we're looking at this morning, receiving the word of truth. But if we're receiving the word of truth, and he's going to challenge us to do this morning, what should be the result in our lives? Well, one of the things is that there should be a visible change in our lives that really attests to the fact that we're new creations. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17, that we are in fact now new creations in Christ Jesus. For all the old stuff has been now passed away, and behold, all things have become new, really, in him, that we are really a creation. Technically, we are a recreation. God has taken who you are, and he has taken your past and has forgiven you. But you and I bring our baggage from the past into our current relationship with God, and that is why you and I struggle with Christian victory, because so many times our old life will come up and try to pull us down. And so James is encouraging us to depart from the things of what we once did and walk in the newness of life that's in Christ. And it all is based upon letting the Word of God take root so that we might become the new creations that he is intending for us to be. So in verse 19, chapter 1, James says this to us, down to verse 21. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Jesus warned us in another place in Luke 6:44. Jesus says, you'll know a tree by the fruit that it produces. He says, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So he warns us. Now listen, the word is used in your Bible to judge. We are to discern. The word is to investigate and to determine. When we look at a tree, we want to pick its fruit. Well, is it an apple tree or is it an avocado tree? And of course, in California, it's an avocado tree, right? I mean, you got to love guacamole and avocados. Our state fruit, I guess. Is it a fruit? What is it? It just tastes awesome. I don't know. I love it. And yes, you can mail your shipments of avocados right here. But you look at the tree and you look at the leaves and you say, you know, those are long, waxy, shaped leaves, and I bet you this is an avocado tree. But you won't know until those blossoms produce the avocado. And then, even then, what you want to do eventually at harvest time is to pick that avocado and you let it get just ripe to the point where it's soft enough, and then you just eat that thing with a spoon, you know. It's so good. And you say, this is a great avocado. You don't say, this doesn't taste like an apple. It's because it's not an apple. It's not even from an apple tree. It's an avocado from an avocado tree. And God says, listen, Jesus says, listen, when you look at people, you'll know what kind of tree they are by the fruit that's hanging around in their life. What's hanging around in our lives? That's the fruit of who we are. If we hang with Jesus, we're going to be producing Jesus fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. If we're hanging out with friends that are not Christ-like or worldly, then we're going to start producing worldly fruit. It's the way that it works. Can't get around that being the case. And so Jesus warns us, you'll know them by their fruits. Jude tells us concerning being a spectator type Christian. He says, listen, be careful in Jude chapter 1, verse 12. Jude says, people who are pretenders or who are not truly the fruit that they claim to be, he says, they're like spots in your potlucks. The Bible uses the word feast, but for us it's potlucks. They're spots at your potlucks. They feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They're like clouds without water. They're carried about by the winds. They're like late autumn trees without fruit, and they're twice dead. They have no life in their root. They have no life because they have no life-giving fruit whatsoever. They're in fact dead. It's very important we understand this. And so in our first point concerning receiving the word of truth, jot it down if you would, the word of God will produce in us a new life. That's what it's going to do. The word of God will produce in us a new life. So you want to ask yourself the private question, do I have a new life since I've claimed the name of Jesus? Or am I a Sunday Christian? Or am I an Easter Christian? Or a Christmas Christian? Am I a day-to-day Christian? Am I going, in fact, to heaven? And by the way, while we're mentioning that, spiritual deception is the key thing that has led more people to the grave and to being lost than I think any other thing. So James is telling us, don't be deceived. So this morning we should all ask ourselves the question, am I truly a Christian? Does my secretary, or does my boss, or do my clients, or do my patients, or do my coworkers, do they view me as one who follows God? They're the ones who know. And so he says in verse 19, therefore, my beloved brethren. Again, he says this in verse 21. He said it last week. Therefore, my beloved brethren. And can you circle the word therefore and then drop down to verse 21? You'll see it again. Therefore, you want to circle it. Remember J. Vernon McGee? How can you forget J. Vernon McGee? The guy's been in heaven for 10 years, and he's still on every radio program talking. It's amazing. And what does he say with his accent? He says, get on the Bible bus, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and only he can get away with a voice like that. And he'll say, when you come to the word therefore, you need to ask what it's there for. And that's really true. The therefore, you circle it because it means everything that I just got done telling you. Therefore, this is what you do. You have that? It's so simple. The reason why it's therefore is to stress the fact that it's there for a reason. And James is going, everything I've just said? Okay, with that in mind, therefore, this is what you do. Who's he talking to? Look at your Bible. Verse 19, who is he speaking to? Christian brethren, us. So there's no mistake who he's speaking to. He says this, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Isn't that great? He says, listen, brothers, everything I've just told you, in light of everything I've just been telling you, and these 18 verses, therefore, be very, very swift to hear. The word swift to hear means to position your ears and your heart in a sweet spot. A sweet spot. You know what a sweet spot is. If you go to a concert, if you go to a theater or a play, you pay big money for the sweet spot. The sweet spot is where the view is just perfect. The sweet spot is where the sound at the concert hall is just right. That's why the tickets are more expensive in that spot. People pay big money. Why? To position their ears to hear the concert. The word here, to position your hearing to be swift to do this, is to put your ears that are attached to your heart. That's how we hear. Our heart listens with spiritual ears. He says to position our heart in such a way that it is very, very in tune with the sweet spot, the message that's being delivered. James is saying, everything I've talked about, trials and tribulations and temptations and difficulty and getting wisdom from God, everything that I've talked about, he says, therefore, put your heart in the sweet spot. Hey, listen, is that where you're at right now? Think about this for a minute. Why did you come here today? Well, I want to hear the Word of God. That's good. Are you prepared to hear the Word of God? You might be saying, well, I came here because I had to come here. My parents drugged me in here. Well, listen, be that as it may, position your heart right now, young person. Well, I came here because my neighbor's been asking me to come. I just came to shut him up. Hey, that's okay. I don't care what the reason is. Position your heart in the sweet spot. Yesterday, there were some people over, and I could hear, I was studying, but I could hear that the music was going on outside, and there was a little bit of, you know, I can't hear it, turn it up, and I didn't want it turned up any louder, because I'm trying to study, and so I had told my daughter, I said, if you move your chair right over here, you'll hear a lot better. And it sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Just move 10 feet, and you'll hear better. And it was true. What about you right now? Who are you? How are you listening? Jesus says in Luke's gospel, be careful how you hear. So right now, position your heart. Just say, I'm here now. I am deciding to put my heart in the sweet spot. That is to be very swift to hear what the Word of God has to say. I want to hear from God. So you position your heart. That takes discipline, people. Our culture, we live in the amusement culture of the world. Did you know that? We have more amusement parks. We spend an estimated $9 billion a year on amusement as a nation. We want to be amused. You know what the word amused means? It's, you know, the word muse is a wonderful word. It even appears in the Bible. I will muse on these things. The word muse means to, I will become engulfed in what I'm concentrating on or what I'm beholding concerning God. You know, maybe a naturalist will go out into the woods and they'll say, I want to eat it all up. I want to be just like the environment. And they'll muse upon the environment. To amuse, what do you think that means? It means to cut your thinking off, to cut your head off. It means to take your contemplative position and cast it to the wind, and you're just going to take it all upon you without taking anything in. That's why they're amusement parks. There are places to forget life. God says, you don't have to do that. I want you to muse upon what is true. So be careful how you think. Position your heart. I want to hear from God. What is God going to speak to me from His Word? That's why we worship before we get into the Word. Now, I know as a Christian, it sometimes is hard. You know, because you don't feel like getting dressed, do you? Sunday. You just feel like rolling around, crashing, sleeping in till noon, you know. It's Sunday. We're going to go worship God. Hey, and the enemy goes, oh, yeah, you think? Over, you know, my cloven-footed body. And he pulls out arrows to try to get you all disrupted so that you just keep driving by the church and wind up going out to dinner instead or breakfast instead, thinking we're not even fit to go to church. Oh, no, no, you come to church. You just pull right in and park. You position your heart to hear, no matter what the day's been like, even though it's only an hour old. You position your heart. I'm going to hear from the Lord. That's why you are to worship before the word. You listen to the words that you're singing and you say, yes, Lord. And you know, some people will raise their hands. They're not going to be rolling on the floor next. That's not why they're raising their hands. The Bible is calling us to lift up holy hands of prayer. And what they're doing is saying, Lord, I'm making this a prayer of my life. Lord, I lift your name on high. Why? Because I've been doing nothing but lifting up my own self on high, and I'm sick of it. And Lord, I'm here right now to lift you up on high. You see? That positions your heart to receive the word of God. So be swift to hear. He says, slow to speak. Be swift to hear, but be slow to speak. Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation, seven times to the seven letters written to the churches, he says there, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Well, you got to be able to hear. So we're to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It begins with hearing. Not only hearing, but the word is actually listening. We hear all kinds of stuff, don't we? Don't we hear all kinds of stuff? All kinds of junk even. But what are you listening to? You see, to put your heart in the sweet spot is to be listening, not just hearing. You'll hear all kinds of trash. You might hear good stuff. You might hear garbage. But what are you listening to? It's amazing to think that through this sanctuary right now, there are frequencies of radio stations. You know, there's classical music going through here right now. There's metal. There's disco. That's a scary thought to think. But there's praise music. There's satanic music. There's all kinds of stuff just going through on the sound waves. You'll never get them. You'll never hear them. Or I should say, you'll never be able to listen to them. But you could get an oscilloscope set up in here, and it can detect them. But what you do is you dial into a frequency if you have a receiver and you can listen to 107.9 and hear Christian teaching and worshipful music. But what happens if you move it over? If you move it just to the right, you'll hear a broadcast out of Tijuana. I can't figure out what they're saying. It means I don't understand it. Why? You've changed frequencies. To position your heart to be swift to hear is to listen, not only with hearing, but to listen with the intent to ingest what is being given. That's how God wants us to hear right now. To hear with listening. The apostle Paul encourages us to listen with our ears. Jesus says, listen to what the Spirit is saying. So it's very important that if the Word of God is going to produce within us in a new life, that we be listening and we be careful about it. Zeno, the ancient Greek philosopher, said something that you all know, and you might have heard it in different ways, but he said, we have two ears and we have one mouth. And that is the gods. They believed in multiple gods. That is the God's way of telling us that we should be listening twice as much as we speak. I like what one of the ancient writers also said. He said, you notice that our ears are two. They have holes that are open always to receive all that is spoken. Our mouth, we have but one. And behind it is caged the tongue. And he says, it is God who has placed in front of the tongue an ivory gate to keep it from going wild. The teeth. Isn't that great? Think about it. The teeth. What's it for? Well, this philosopher says it's to keep your mouth, your tongue, back where it belongs. You don't have teeth on your ears. Isn't that great? Well, listen. You've never been talking to somebody and bite your ear. But you have been talking to somebody and you've bitten your tongue. The teeth, I like what he says, are like gates. Maybe we need to look at it like that. Boy, I need to gate up my mouth. One guy said, you know, I have never at all been saddened or been in trouble for what I didn't say. I have never been brought into question or brought into trouble for what I didn't say. We get in trouble for what we do say because we're so often swift to speak, swift to wrath, slow to hear. Peter was like that. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus goes, "All right. Well, that great. Now that you guys all know that, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. It's time for me to be killed and to be torn up and beaten and be cast into the hands of sinful men." And Peter, in his next breath, "Be it far from thee, Lord. That is not going to happen to you." And Jesus turns to Peter. I mean, he's just like one. Boy, he just told me that God spoke to me and I announced to the world that Jesus is the righteous Son of God. I'm something. They're going to make me the first pope over this one. I'm something. Peter. And instantly Jesus turns and he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For you do not savor the things of God, but men." Quick to speak. Quick to wrath. Can you imagine being Peter? Jesus turns and looks right at him and says, "Satan, you get behind me." Gosh, moment there for a moment, Jesus, I thought you were looking right at me. Satan was standing behind Peter and manipulating his mouth. Listen, if we are very, very retarded in the area of listening and hearing, our mouths will go off. And we live in a culture that almost promotes it. And isn't it certainly the human nature to do such things? The Bible tells us in Proverbs, King Solomon tells us that a wise man has control of his tongue. He tells us in another place that it's a foolish thing to open up your mouth and to speak before you think. A lot of people can be hurt. So we need to be listening carefully. And this is so much the nature of Jesus, to be listening and to be responsive after hearing and caring. And it's so much like human nature to blow off self-restraint. Listen to what he says. Be slow to speak. The final words, be slow to wrath. And the word wrath here means a seething wrath. Be slow to come to seething wrath. And it is not an explosive wrath. Isn't it interesting? I'm not listening. My mouth is always moving. Somebody delivers some news into my lap and I explode. That's not the word that's used here.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study of James chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21. It's called Receiving the Word of Truth, part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, speaking of truth, we as believers are to be presenters of truth, or as our Savior put it, we're to be salt and light, including at times of electing candidates and ballot measures. In other words, being effective, making our Judeo-Christian worldview known, even in the face of opposition. Well, in light of Sanctity of Life Month, January, Pastor Jack has given a message called The Sanctity of Life Begins with God. The Sanctity of Life Begins with God is available on DVD through Real Radio and is yours for a contribution of any size in support of this broadcast outreach. Whether you call or click, be sure and mention the title of the DVD, The Sanctity of Life Begins with God. It includes compelling videos of the development of life in the womb, as well as persuasive and effective arguments about abortion and choosing to preserve life. For your DVD, The Sanctity of Life Begins with God, visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click on the special offer. Or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.